You're saying that I was preaching the peace. Forget the sign. Even before that, you said I was preaching the peace for standing with a sign that says we stand with Britain's Jews, with in the middle a Manchester B signifying the murder of two people in a synagogue this week.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. Well, this is, you know, Europe is going the way of the dodo bird when it comes to the draconian laws of speech. I don't know what you do if you're a European, because, you know, you got to be brave. And I said, get to the edge of your free speech and wait for them to say you can't. And then unless and until they say you can't, just keep doing it and do it vigorously. But without someone then behind the scenes going, we've got to get rid of these extra statutes and laws and regulations that are keeping us from sharing our opinions about important topics. If that's not happening too, I don't know what you do. You're being boxed in a corner. So this is probably over in Manchester, and it is just somebody who's been near a protest. I'm unsure what the protest is exactly, but basically he had a placard, and the placard was just reasonable options of what to believe, and a peaceful option of what to believe. There's no violence or anything else implied whatsoever. It was literally giving support, and that's all. And now, about four or five police officers, or whatever you want to call these folks, have corralled him off away from the rest of the crowd that's probably a couple hundred yards away. Like maybe it's a street parade, it sounds like. You can tell from what he says. They've corralled him off away onto the other side of kind of a big, you know, courtyard or lawn area towards another fence. And they're just detaining him for holding a sign. Now, you can say, well, I don't think you got the whole story. And I can say, I'm going to give you all the audio, and we'll discuss what other parts of the story would I be missing that would be relevant. So give me just a second to go ahead and back that up to the beginning of where I want you to listen to. And we'll let that play from the beginning. It'll probably be about a minute and a half. Okay, here we go right now.
They're mixing up two different things, or Section 14 isn't something I've heard of. But I'm not sure how We Stand With Britain's Jews breaches the Terrorism Act. But we'll see. Maybe it's the Union Jack that we've got on there. Who knows these days? I mean, seriously, it's a joke. Come on. Train running late, right? You're about to lock me up for hours, yeah? For nothing. You're not telling me that my train is late, so don't say, you know, and then somebody will be able to explain it to you. And also, you said earlier you're going to wait until the launch has passed before you get a van. So we're going to stand here for nearly 2 hours, just wasting my time for standing there with a placard that said, "We stand with Britain's Jews." Right? Seriously, what you've done?
I'm not saying what you're doing, right? I'm not saying that. I'm saying you can sing with a sign.
No, you're saying that I was preaching the peace. Forget the sign. Even before that, you said I was preaching the peace for standing with a sign that says we stand with Britain's Jews, with in the middle a Manchester B signifying the murder of two people in a synagogue this week, and you're saying I'm preaching the peace and potentially a terrorist. It's a joke. It's a joke.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, the West is falling, and I don't know what to do about it. I'm not somebody who can go find the tallest hanging tree for these World Economic Forum types, these folks that believe if only their argument was the only argument, then they could use it to save the world. And in their view, that means save the world means less people alive and so on and so forth. And also puking nanoparticle chemicals into the sky to block the sun, as though that doesn't have a massive biological effect on the planet and all of its living organisms. So I don't have that hanging tree, and I don't have that process. So what do we do? Push back as soon and as early as possible. Stand with Europe, stand with the UK. And while you have this right, you keep pushing it. Because, again, they can't arrest you all. And now you can say, well, this is just breaching the peace. These little miscommunications happen all the time. Well, I'll probably let you listen to it again at the end to see if you think I missed anything. But this guy had a sign that just said, "We stand with Britain's Jews." And it was over somebody being victimized, being murdered. And it was the Jews that were murdered. So how is it even close to plausible or possible in a free speech society that anybody can say anything except, well, that's a reasonable thing to say? And this idea of breaching the peace, and you see where he goes, well, you said I was breaching the peace, and then the guy goes, well, no, I said you had a sign. What's the difference? How did that make any difference? You're arresting me for having the sign. And you're admitting that having the sign breached the peace because it had words on it. Apparently words that some people might disagree with. So does this mean that any given assembly, the only thing that is allowed is 100% agreement? Because if you have something that might make one of the people irritated at an event where the whole point would be that people are up in arms figuratively with their opinions on a certain matter, then people are more likely to get irritated. So if I go there trying to push back on whatever that narrative is, or if I'm just trying to go there to share my opinion about that situation, I'm breaching the peace to show support to one side or the other. Like, how maniacally no-brained do you have to be to enforce that? And what I mean by that is it's totally enforceable by using none of your brain. Like, in fact, it's required. The guy's holding a sign that says, "We stand with a victim." And the guy has been taken aside. And when he says, you know, "I didn't make a scene," it was very little. If anything, the police officer in front of him, just some big dude, says, "No, I said you had a sign." Well, you're making my point, aren't you? And then he, you know, that's, you're not going to go get a van for 2 hours until the march goes past. And so think of the speech freezing effect of this. Like, you can be detained in place for hours on end for sharing an opinion. And then presumably there'll be at least a fine and a court fee or a court appearance. And he'll be taken in to, quote, have his charges explained to him. He's like, I don't need to have the charge explained to me. I get it. And that's where he said up front, "I've never heard of this Section 14. I don't know what that has to do with anti-terrorism, but who knows? Maybe the Union Jack's on that list now, the way our society has gone now." It's insane. But the other thing that it emphasizes is that it's the same idea as Michael knew back in the early 1990s. I was a subscriber to the New American, which I've stated before, I didn't know that it was a publication of the John Birch Society, so I was supposed to disregard all facts. And I'm like, so I didn't disregard the facts. they had good reporting, and so I thought this is great reporting, and they're watchdogs and they're bulldog watchdogs. They go back and they keep a hold of something and keep following up on it. Back then there was I can't remember his army or what he was, but he was a medic, maybe an army medic. His name was Michael New, and I'm getting to the broader point here. Michael New said, I'm not going to be a part of this UN operation. I stand for the allegiances of the United States, and I held up an oath, or I held up my hand as an oath to the Constitution, not as jackassery UN flag, and I'm not doing it. And he, in essence, got the UCMJ, pushed him out of the services, but it got a pretty wide amount of publicity for those who were looking in that direction. Michael knew it. At one point, I even had his picture up in a frame in my house somewhere. I mean, a small frame. But, like, that's what you do. That's principled. That's principled opposition. Guess what? He's one out of however many people you think were in the military at the time. Million and a half, I don't know. Decent number, hundreds of thousands anyway. And the rest don't do that. The rest of them follow orders because that's what they're paid for, and especially in the military. That's why it's super important for the military not to be out of hand, because that organization is, in essence, an emergency management organization. Well, yeah, you'd have rights in a normal situation, but this isn't a normal situation. The military is setting a culture so that when we have the shit hit the fan, we have people that will go do the mission. And there you can find one out of 100,000 will push back, and one out of a million will push back to the point of being pushed out of their career. And one out of 3 million will push back and make publicity about it and not care. That's Michael New. It's Edward Snowden. And what it shows you is that when someone is given a mission and they're giving rules to enforce because they have a job and they don't want to be unemployed, their job is not to go, well, where'd this come from or why? Because then they'd be unemployed. You get it? That's why it's so important that our laws be just and fair, because we have an enforcement mechanism. And as soon as the laws are just and unfair, then in essence our law enforcement officers are the equivalent of brown shirts. They're there to harass you just by their mission. They don't have to have bad attitudes. They can have normal attitudes. And when they selectively enforce laws, because I've told you that the worst laws are where most people go, I don't think that's really a moral wrong, and so you're not going to enforce it most of the time. And so then, when you do enforce it, it is selective enforcement, which is then something that can be used by people who don't have principles to terrorize a certain segment of the population and their opinions, or a certain individual that is not liked. And that's why our laws have to be very, very concrete and very, very much based on, if you will, the classic Ten Commandments. I don't go to church or anything, but just, clear, moral wrongs. And I'm not saying that to apologize or make you, just so you know, I'm using that as a reference that makes sense for what is basically wrong. And so instead, when you go, well, I mean, I'm pretty sure the commandments don't say you're not supposed to speak. And again, the New Testament is all about democratization. I've said this many, many times recently, but it's because it's true. The development of Jesus Christ for salvation was a development towards a philosophy of all individuals are equal. Because anybody can be saved and have eternal life. That thought started, and I don't want to say individually, philosophically, it's the only place, but it was a massive viral thought that it's not just kings, it's not who was born right, it's not just all the various regal underlings of kings and princes and bishops and the like. It is everybody. Everybody. Now, has that manifested into absolutely perfectly? No. But that's where it comes from. And so where we have these laws that are supposed to be just and fair and applied equally, it is very important that we don't let that be pushed back against. Because, again, laws are enforced. There are built-in brown shirts. And the more ambiguous they are, then the less often they're enforced, which means they're selectively enforced, which means they're politically or individually enforced against someone based on who, what unprincipled person wants to use the force of law to terrorize somebody. And once those laws are in place for, well, that's not immoral at all. The guy's speaking his mind. Then either through very affirmative, hey, I want to terrorize these people with low-level or high-level lawfare, or in the just weird instant cases, or small cases like this, rather, where just some guy's holding a sign, and then somebody else across the street goes, I don't like that sign. And then they go, hey, I'm going to report that guy, and he's trying to breach a peace. And so some law enforcement officer gets there, and just the mere idea that a sign could be in breaching the peace. Because when they got there, it's like, well, I mean, if you say so, but I don't see anything much here. But then what's the underlying enforcement mechanism is this ridiculous idea of the sign being the problem. We are in it, ladies and gentlemen, because, again, I'm trying to tell you over and over again that they're trying to distract Trump from the mission. The mission is make America great again. They're trying to distract him, and he is distracted, and he apparently is happy to be distracted. So one wonders if it's on purpose. With everything about Europe and everything about Israel and everything about Ukraine, including negotiating how many more people will die, by how many more U.S. debt dollars will go in that direction, and how much we will entertain all of Europe continuing to support a war. And what he could and should be doing, marking back to this particular topic, is being over in America, using his bully pulpit, which he uses pretty well, really, to say, Europe, you're losing your way. These speech laws are draconian. Stop making laws that look like Chinese laws. And I've given you this thread before, that as these laws look more like draconian Chinese speech laws, it's interesting that the World Economic Forum, that has a vision for the planet based on what a few people want, and recently had somebody you would know as kind of a humanitarian, trying to think of what name it was. Think like a Jane Goodall, but it wasn't her. Coming up in front of everybody, could have been Goodall, and saying, yeah, we just have too many people on the planet, or we need to get rid of a bunch of people. This is in front of the World Economic Forum. This is what they believe. It is not about the free market. It is not about the best ideas. It is about oligarchs meeting and deciding on the direction of the planet. So it's interesting that the World Economic Forum, which is pushing these things on the European Union, a bureaucracy, a technocracy, and on the United Kingdom, has its off-season annual meeting. So not the one in Davos, Switzerland, but the other one, the off-season one, in China every year. I've told you before, this is the reason for the World Economic Forum. This is the pivot they're trying to get done. They do not believe in free speech. Free speech gets in their way. They want you to shut up. And if that turns into A once in a while, Actually, the small casualty is that a guy who is actually for Israel victims. The law is so overbearingly stupid and gray and vague that as he holds up a placard for Jewish victims, if he gets swept up in the wash of these ridiculous laws that we want available to be able to shut down people's opinion at any given moment, well, it's a casualty that's worth the price, because the most important thing is we can shut people the hell up, and we can extend that terroristic act to however they might speak, with a placard, silently, on social media, with tweets, people getting arrested for tweets, and often just a repost. So one wonders, I'm not on social media, but if I was, if they just merely retweeted some of my message, would they then get arrested, get charged, have to go through the low-level irritation and harassment of, I say low-level, I mean it takes away, of charges, you know, a fine, a court appearance, having to potentially decide if you're going to hire representation? That's not low-level harassment. That's a serious thing in a person's life, and they just keep building it on. Here's the thing with democracy and with really government, not just democracy. More rules just turn into what could be an elegant solution, becoming entirely inelegant. This idea that legislatures must continue to add to the rule book every year is purely a preposterous idea. Washington gridlock. And I get it if you want to go, well, at least we shouldn't be shut down. But when thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of words are puked into the statutes that then have to be figured out and sorted through so the regulations and the enforcement are kind of in line with some vague stuff, you're just creating a Frankenstein's monster. It is ugly. It is the opposite of an elegant solution to ensuring peace and prosperity in a society. So with that, let me rewind this to the beginning of this clip and let you hear it again. All right, here we go again.
They're mixing up two different things, or Section 14 isn't something I've heard of, but I'm not sure how we stand with Britain's Jews breaches the Terrorism Act, but we'll see. Maybe it's the Union Jack that we've got on there. Who knows these days? I mean, this is, seriously, it's a joke. Come on.
Mom, that's the information we give when we get to custody.
Yeah.
We'll get you processed, and someone will be able to explain to you.
Oh, well, I'm really grateful. This isn't like a train running late, right? You're about to lock me up for hours. Nothing. You're not telling me that my train is late, so don't say, you know, and then somebody will be able to explain it to you. And also, you said earlier you're going to wait until the launch has passed before you get a van. So we're going to stand here for nearly 2 hours and just wasting my time for standing there with a placard that said, "We stand with Britain's Jews." Right? Seriously, what you've done?
I'm not saying what you're all doing, right? I'm not saying that. I'm saying you've been seen with a sign.
No, you're saying that I was preaching the peace. Forget the sign. Even before that, you said I was preaching the peace for standing with a sign that says we stand with Britain's Jews. With in the middle, a Manchester bee signifying the murder of two people in a synagogue this week. And you're saying I'm preaching the peace and potentially a terrorist. It's a joke. It's a joke.
Yeah, just following orders. Just following orders. So, yeah, I could be wrong. That he said marchers. It didn't sound like it was probably like, you know, a whatever day march, a Britain Day march. But I don't know. So I just want to clarify on that. But yeah, no, it was for holding a sign. And he goes, no, even before that, you said I was breaching the peace. So what's the even distinction? Like, you're not allowed to have a visual? Does that even make sense? Like, what is that about? It's really, really awful. So just keep pushing the boundaries of free speech. Keep doing it. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to the Scales of Truth. Remember, you can catch me over on Chemology 411 every week with Kim Schultz. And also then, you can catch some sports episodes here. Been doing that a little bit every week. So thanks again for listening. Have a good one.